One day, Jesus was invited to have dinner at the Pharisee's house, one of the Pharisee's houses. And so he was there having dinner, and they, as was the custom, were reclining at the table. But it so happened on that day that a woman who was in the city, who lived in the city, who was known to be a sinner, came in and sat behind Jesus. And she was crying so profusely that the tears went on to Jesus' feet. And she let down her hair and began to wipe Jesus' feet with her hair. And she had with her a jar of ointment as well. And she began to kiss his feet and anoint his feet with oil. But when the Pharisee that invited Jesus saw this, Simon, he thought to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who this woman was that was touching him. Jesus said to Simon, Simon, I have something to tell you. And he turned to the woman and said this to Simon. He said, when I came here, you did not offer me anything to wash my feet with, yet she has wiped my feet with her tears and hair. You did not anoint my head with oil, yet she has anointed my feet with oil. You did not welcome me like this. And he told this story to Simon. There was a moneylender who had two people that owed him a various amount of money. One owed him 50 denarii and the other 500, and he forgave the debt of each. And he asked Simon, which one of these people would have loved the moneylender more? Simon answered, I suppose the one to whom the greater debt has been forgiven. And Jesus said, you have judged right. To much that has been forgiven, they love much, but to those whom little has been forgiven, they love little. And he turned to the woman and said, your sins have been forgiven. Go in peace. And everyone there was amazed and began to wonder to themselves and talk to themselves, saying, who is this who forgives sins? Four different perspectives we have today on this story. First of all, the woman. What was she thinking by coming in there that day to dinner? One of two things, I think. First of all, gratitude. Overflowing gratitude. Love. She came there prepared to anoint Jesus. She had with her the ointment jar already. So I believe that Jesus had done something previous to this, to her. Jesus had encountered her before. Perhaps she had never been treated like this, as an equal, as someone deserving of grace, as someone who deserved healing. Perhaps she had been healed. Perhaps she had been made whole. She was used to people treating her one way, maybe being spat upon, rejected, people looking the other way. Jesus perhaps looked her right in the eye. She might have came that day thinking to herself, what if I can be forgiven? What if me too? Why not me? Is there grace for me? Perhaps by showing this appreciation for the healer, she might think to be worthy. But all it took was simply admitting that she was a sinner. Simply admitting to God, to Jesus, that she needed grace. That's all it took for her sins to be taken away. Then there's the point of view of Simon, the Pharisee, who is thinking to himself, what is this woman doing here in my house? How disrespectful. She's unclean. This will reflect badly upon me and my family. Why is he allowing her to do this? Doesn't he know her reputation? Maybe he's thinking to himself, this guy's different. This guy's different. I thought him to be a prophet, but yet he is allowing this to happen. Maybe he wasn't there for the previous story when Jesus is talking about John the Baptist and how people criticized him for eating with sinners. And here he is, having dinner in the midst of a sinner. Maybe he's open-minded to Jesus. Perhaps he is not so much the bad guy in this. Then there's the perspective of the crowd who ask a different question. What is he doing by forgiving sins? How can he do this? What kind of prophet is this? By whose authority? Isn't this blasphemous? Only God can forgive sins, right? Perhaps, as well, they're awed at Jesus. His ability to forgive sins, ability to heal, ability to change people's hearts, perhaps. Then there's Jesus' perspective. Coming to a Pharisee's house, I don't imagine even he foresaw a woman coming in to cry upon his feet and kiss them, bathe them in oil. I imagine him being pleased, another one saved, another one caught in the movement. Somebody who wishes to be forgiven, included, someone who wants to be changed from within. And then perhaps he sees this as an opportunity, I think he does, to give a message to others, to make them think. Give them a little thing to think about in the form of a story about a moneylender who forgives two different debts of great difference. Great difference to our mind, of course, but of course, in God's mind, sin is sin. We rank our sins in a list, but God just takes that list and does this to it. Sin is a sin. Simon is a sinner. This woman is a sinner. The people at the table, the rest of the crowd are sinners too. All are forgiven. All have the opportunity, a tremendous opportunity to be forgiven. The woman is the one who takes up that offer to admit that I have done things wrong. And because of that, because of her great faith in his power to forgive, she experiences the tremendous love of God and the grace of God. All of us have been forgiven much. All of us have benefited from God's power and God's grace. Acknowledging that, we have the greater capacity to love like this woman does. Simon did not have that capacity. In his mind, he wasn't like this woman. His sins were not as great as hers. Thus, he was not as appreciative when the Son of God came to his doorstep. He did not bathe his feet, did not even bathe his head, did not welcome him as this woman did. We have a tremendous opportunity to take up this power of God, to take up this freedom by simply admitting that we need help, that we cannot do this alone, that we need God. People need the Lord. I love the song that we sing. This woman needed the Lord so badly that she interrupted a dinner party, lavished tears on Jesus, maybe with just the hope that she would get a bit of grace, a bit of forgiveness, and she was rewarded with that. Simon must have stood back and been ashamed of himself. Here he is, a Pharisee, a man, a supposed man of God, supposed to recognize God's actions, and yet, where's his capacity to love? Where is the grace that he shows this woman? Take up the opportunity to be forgiven. Allow all those sins and guilts to just dissolve away. And let it be filled with God's love. We also have the tremendous opportunity to forgive. To be forgiven and then to forgive as well. It's one thing to receive grace. Sometimes it's hard to do, especially, I think, to forgive ourselves. I think it's a lot of time it's harder to forgive ourselves than to forgive somebody else. But it can be hard to forgive as well. There is little else that gives others the freedom, the confidence that being forgiven does. How good does it feel to be forgiven? Perhaps those were tears of joy that she was crying at Jesus' feet. Perhaps she never thought that she would be worthy. Perhaps she had accepted her lot in life of what people told her. We, as Christians, as individuals, as a church body, have the authority and power and opportunity to forgive. This is a place of grace. One of the ideas behind greeting each other with the peace of Christ is also an opportunity to begin reconciliation with one another, to restore relationships among the community. It's an opportunity. Do you ever think of that? That you have the opportunity to forgive others? The black sheep in the family, that estranged cousin or brother? How good would it feel to be made right for them? The feeling that they can start again with you, that they can start again in life. What better good news is there that we have to offer as a church? If not that, that you can be new, that you can start again, that God accepts you. Though your sins in your mind seem to be many, We can do that. We can offer that. Let's take up this opportunity to be forgiven and to forgive. Amen.